Talk Show.
Recorded live.
Okay, folks. Another example of operator's headspace. I don't know how I managed to go ahead and hang up, but I did go ahead and hang up. Logan, I gave him an offer to go ahead and to stay on the line or to call back in. He decided that he wanted to go ahead and, well, essentially go to sleep here. Anyway, I was talking about this Douglas Pearson. And essentially, you find these people. They want to pretend to be Christian identity, or they want to pretend to be whatever, be a creatard or a white nationalist or what have you. And pretty much, they don't have an idea, a clue on how to behave here. Now, this Douglas Pearson went ahead and gave me a hard time for going ahead and outing this Rebecca Mace, or, fighting with Eli James, or fighting with Fink. And, folks, of course I'm going to fight with Eli James. Eli James is a Jew. Fink is a Jew. Of course I'm going to fight with him. But, here's this character. He goes ahead and claims to be something that he's not. And then, he doesn't listen to anything I say. He goes ahead and does the exact opposite of what I tell him to do. But the fact of the matter is, he wasn't a poor Quaker stuck in Kanuckistan. He was some character who, from what I gather, looks like a lot like a Jew who goes ahead and has the money to go to a Stormfront, jack off with on. He goes ahead and freaks out the people there to where they think he's a Jew, and they're all mad because he's being, talking big about Covington. I told him not to mention my name, not to talk about Christian identity, and certainly not to talk about Covington. Because, Craig Cobb don't have a problem really with Covington, but heck, he wants to be in with April Gady, and April Gady has a big problem with Covington. And the reason she had a big problem with Covington is that Covington had a bunch of people around Kalispell who didn't get along with April Gady. And I think the main problem was with April Gady. So here this character does everything I tell him not to do, gets on me for getting, for essentially saying Eli James is a Jew. Folks, everybody in the movement, Christian identity otherwise, thinks that Eli James is a Jew. Why? Because Eli James looks like a Jew. This horseshit about, and I've seen this email, and I went ahead and put it up on the forum. Because Eli James has the same notion. He gets to bluster and he gets to threaten a lawsuit. Well, folks, look, Eli James is not going to go ahead and be successful in pursuing a lawsuit against somebody who thinks he's a Jew because he looks an awful lot like a Jew here. Old Anglem Cecil Truett accused me a year or so ago. I went ahead and took the picture of Eli James that he has on his talk show, picture, and, here's Anglem Cecil Truett claiming that I'd forged Eli James' picture. I'd gone ahead and put a Muslim up on there and claimed it was Eli James. Well, no, it's not a Muslim, it's a Jew boy. Oh, yeah, it looks like a Mamzer, but, hey, so do you, Anglo Mestizo Truett. That's Eli James. Why don't you go ahead and look? Why don't you go ahead and look at the talk show picture that you claim not for? It looks like a Muslim. That's a picture of Eli James, not a Muslim. And then Anglo Mestizo Truett didn't have anything to say. Well, anyway, I did go ahead and find out that the old Truett is all pissy because he says that Morris Gillette is running around with a wire. Well, I doubt he's running around with a wire. I don't think anybody does go ahead and have a wire. But, folks, Gillette took a plea bargain. He went ahead and was plotting to rob banks in Alabama for Bolivian nose candy. He was drunk as a skunk. He wasn't innocent of doing anything like that, but you know, after he went ahead and did that, he didn't want to go ahead and just simply say, hey, look, I did really, really, I was really going to go ahead and rob banks in Alabama. That was just the coke and the whiskey talking. I'm actually just a tard. And folks, he'd have gone ahead and been found guilty and got 30 years in prison. And probably had to do at least 15 or 20 of them, maybe 25. So what did he do? Well, hey, he went ahead and took a plea bargain. He went ahead and denounced me for my, well, my ungodly ways. Folks, there is no sense at all in pretending that you're a nice person here, that you're going to forgive and forget mamsers or criminals. We're coming to the end to where things are going to go ahead and fall apart. They're going to fall apart rather badly. So why in the world pretend to be something that you're not? Like kind to mamsers, like kind to criminals, like kind to idiots, when you're not. Anyway, I'm looking at this jackass, I guess, injuring himself by jumping into a frozen pool again and again and again, cracking his ass on the ice or something here. I mean, I'll just look at this on the news here. Oh, Anderson Swooper. You know, the old, you know, Anderson Swooper here. He went ahead and went out, you know, expressly homosexual. Okay? Okay. Well, we end up having some nimbusters. We have some tards here. No big deal here. I'm not quite sure what to go ahead and really, you know, do the show on. Alex Linder is going on and on and on about Golden Dawn as if him gushing over Golden Dawn means that they know who he is or that they care. They don't. There's really nothing that can be done about any of this sort of thing at all. The closest thing that can possibly be done, if you want to, is move to the northwest and wait for Zog to fall apart. But in most cases, all this stupid crap is here. I'm looking at this quote terror plot. You have some obvious Bangladeshi mamzer going ahead and being led around by the nose by the FBI, and he's going to go ahead and be tried for a terror plot or something like that here. Folks, it was altogether something that the FBI went ahead to justify, well, having this budget. We took care of this awful terrorist who was going to go ahead and bomb the Federal Reserve Bank. Well, folks, there's a lot of people who wish that, you know, this crazy Packy had gone ahead and bombed the Federal Reserve Bank. Wouldn't bother me one bit. So like when James Von Brunn, I didn't know he did this at the time, but the thing that they went ahead and got him on was for kidnapping the Federal Reserve Board of Governors and giving them a lecture and holding them for a couple hours. It should have been a whole lot better if he just shot and killed the bastard and had done with it. But, you know, he didn't. And then later on, he wanted to die. And I'm not going to go ahead and say bad things about James Von Brunn at all. I mean, hell, he killed more niggers with an old 22 than Trader Glenn Miller did with a whole trailer full of explosives and automatic weapons and ammunition paid for by order money. Of course, I don't think James Von Brunn actually went ahead and killed niggers. I think the other niggers went ahead and killed the nigger with their pistols here, trying to go ahead and shoot poor old Jimmy. You know, be that as may here, our movement is idiotic. Our movement is hygienic. Our movement, it doesn't really amount to anything at all. So, yeah, I mean, you know, Frank Weir says it's a hoax. Of course it's a hoax. Of course it's a hoax. All this sort of thing, all this sort of thing about it being, you know, I mean, here comes a raghead. The raghead sort of says something bad about the great Satan. But here he is, moving from Bangladesh. He's allowed to come to this country. Why? Why is any of these creatures allowed in the country at all? Why are they allowed in the country? And then once they're allowed in the country, why is the FBI? How is it protecting anyone? By essentially filling this idiot's head full of nonsense and thinking to where he has an actual bomb and he's just go ahead and detonate. How's that actually protecting the country? And the answer is not. All you're doing is getting a retard, you know, a packy. Well, you know, Bangladesh used to be, what, East Pakistan? You know, he's the most packy-looking packies. Well, hey, here he is. We're, you know, from some shit-skin country wanting to bomb the Jews, which is not a bad idea. But what good does it do? What good does it do? What did it accomplish? Well, I wouldn't give him a medal. I'd just go ahead and give him a plane ticket back to Bangladesh. Of course, you know, might let him go ahead and blow up the Federal Reserve Building here. then ship them back to Bangladesh, okay? So, you know, Killer Joe's like, okay. Plus, I don't really know what to go ahead and say here. Tomorrow on the Logan Hunter Show, we're going to go ahead and have a Bible study. We're going to go ahead and finish up on Mark here. And we had a real good Bible study, and in Mark. And what I want to do after we cover the book of Mark is probably go to Logan Hunter's Lost Books of the Bible, and we'll go through them perhaps here. It's something to think about. But in case I didn't really get that much done this week. Oh, by the way, some heifer called in from essentially the re-elect Jay Nixon campaign and asked me and Rox how we're going to vote. And I said, well, me and Rox are going to boycott the election. There's no point to vote for one crook or the other. I mean, what is the point? It's not representative government anymore. I'm not allowed to run for state or federal or local office because I'm a, quote, white supremacist. What is the point to it? What is the point to it at all? Folks, your best bet is just simply pull out. Simply just leave it alone here. I'm going ahead. Right now, I'm looking at the news. And you have these stupid heifers. You know, I don't know if any of you have seen the debate. But the very first is some little Jew boy named Epstein going ahead and whining about how do I know as a little Jew boy I'm going to have me a job? Well, guess what? Have Uncle Shlomo at the Bagel Bakery go ahead and open up a, you know, place for you, little Jew boy. That little critter looked like a Jew. Probably looked like Obi here, you know, in his real life here. And now they're talking about how the women's vote is real important, and now they're worried about getting an abortion or whether or not they get, you know, the taxpayers going to pay for their abortions. They're actually talking about how niggers are going to ride if Obongo doesn't get reselected. Folks, I don't give a crap. I'd sort of like it to go ahead and see niggers go ahead and chase the wiggers down. Wiggers need to have a dose of reality. And a bunch of hungry, starving niggers raping them out the ass here and killing them, eating them, might be one heck of a good bit of reality. All right. Boom. Yeah, they're going to riot sooner or later anyway here. Anyway, the THC must be wearing off. Oh, boy. So anyway, I'm not quite sure what to go ahead and yak about tonight here. If Joe Pennsylvania wants to call in, well, that would be nice. Let's see. I don't know. I ran out of steam here and didn't really have too much to say in that, well, here's Eli James going ahead, and he's going to sue Skip Baker. Skip Baker is writing a bunch of scurrilous pictures of him to where essentially he looks like a Jew. Okay? Well, there's a reason Eli James looks like a Jew. It's because he is a Jew. What are you going to do, Eli James? Let's say you go ahead. You got to prove the name of my parents. You got to prove this or that. Well, look, if Eli James goes ahead and sues Skip Baker, if Skip Baker has anything on the ball, he'll say, well, okay, what was your name before you named yourself Joseph November? Was it Joseph Cutts? Well, yeah. Okay, well, what was it before Joseph Cutts? Joseph Goldstein? Mordecai Goldstein? Joseph Jewison? Joseph Kaiki Jewison? I mean, what was your name before you called it November here? Who were your parents? Where did you come from? And the answer is that I don't think Eli James wants to go there. I'm pretty sure he doesn't. Okay? Well, let's see. The economy isn't doing very good. It's not looking very good. I mean, someone went ahead and asked me last month what the October surprise would be. Well, folks, we are right around the time for our October surprise. What is it? What's the day? The 18th? Okay. So we are essentially, what? Oh, 3 Tuesdays out? Let me go ahead and look here. How far are we out? Well, we're essentially, what? Oh, 2.5 Tuesdays. Well, 2 Tuesdays and what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 2 Tuesdays and 5 days out of the selection. 14, we're 19 days out of the selection, okay? What are we going to do? What's going to end up happening? Well, I think they'll go ahead and they'll go through the selection. It's going to be a dog and pony show. It doesn't really matter whether Mittens wins or the nigger wins. And I'm seeing all sorts of wiggers who I know better. We're going ahead and just simply saying, well, when it comes down to it, I sort of wish that the wigger wins here. Even if he ain't going to be any better for us than the nigger. And we might end up having a war with Israel. No. I'm just so tired. I instinctively want this wigger-looking character who did nothing other than steal from businesses in order to go ahead and make his personal fortune. He's going to be the tool of the Jews. I was talking to a friend of mine. I said, folks, maybe I ought to go ahead and, figure out how to use the web camera in the Toshiba number 3. And pretty well, I'll go ahead and get me 2 socks here. One, I'll go ahead and put a lot of mud in. And I'll go ahead and glue, to these sock puppets. I'll go ahead and glue a picture, of Mittens on one side and Obongo on the other. And then for myself, I'll go ahead and dig me out one of my hot dogs here. And I'll just go ahead and put it in my glasses here so I'll look like I have a big old Jew nose here, a big old wiener nose, you know what I mean? And then I'll go ahead and have a sock puppet show. You know what I mean? You know, a brown sock, you know, a brown shit-colored sock, you know, on the left hand, and mittens on the right here, and what happens? We'll have the fourth debate. How's that here? Well, the fourth debate. That's what we'll have. We'll have the fourth debate here of mittens versus Obongo. You know what I mean? And what happens? We'll cover stuff that has not, you know, yet been covered here. Oy vey. So I'll go ahead with that wiener nose. I'll go ahead and pretend to be a Jew. And to have old mittens and old Mongo sock puppets running around here. And what happens is that it's something to think about here. Maybe it's time for me to do a YouTube short. Now, last week, I'm not sure who it was, but he kept on giving me his YouTube channel. I need to go ahead and look and see if we can't go ahead and upload, the 2004, you know, the May 2004 Topeka rally. So people can go ahead and see for themselves what a great speech, what a great speaker, public speaker Alex Linder is. Going ahead and looking at that goof head with five or seven pieces of writing tablet paper, going ahead and reading from it, and then screeching apropos of nothing about Jews or niggers or whatever. Folks, I gave a speech there, and folks, it was probably the most, militant speech. Of course, I didn't have a half a beard then here, you know, and I did look well fed, but, you know, no more than what 250 pound Swedes go ahead and look like. And heck, go ahead and put up the 2004 Topeka thing, and then maybe have a little video from a webcam of me, you know, me with the wiener nose running these two sock puppets, Mittens and Obongo, and having a debate here, to where old Mittens goes ahead and accuses Obongo of just being nothing more than a Kenyan nigger here, and you know, especially Obongo accusing old Mittens of having a war with Iran. We'll have at least an honest debate. How's that? You know, not a pretend debate. Anyway, let's see here. Okay. Well, folks, that's where I killed JonBenet here. Alrighty. Well, all the states suck. Some more than others here. So, any case here. Well, I'm looking at this here. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and take a couple-minute break, and I'll sort of get my thoughts together, and maybe Kennewick Man will go ahead and call in. Who knows? So, folks, we're going to go ahead and take a break. Hail victory. Okay, folks, we're back, and it seems like we have a call in. So let's go ahead and unmute him and get to her. Hello.
Well, hello, Catherine. That is your old friend, Gilbert Gottfried. How are you doing?
Well, you sound a good deal like, you sound a little bit like William Pierce here would sound here. For some reason, Mr. Gottfried.
I sound like William Pierce. Well, maybe William Pierce ended up being a little bit Jewish. Oh!
Okay, well, maybe. Although I'm going to hear a hard time about, a hard time here. If you want to sound Jewish here, you sound more like Alex Linder here, though.
Well, if anyone's taking a look at Alex Linder, you've got to see some heavy in him. I mean, the only person around here who I think looks more Jewish than Alex Linder is Kennewick Man, a.k.a. Casey. As they say at the Dim Busters board, Casey, Crohn's disease is just around the corner. Oh!
Okay. Well, what brings you in this neck of the internet woods?
Well, Pastor, I've got a couple of things to say about some of the goings-on here on the Nimbusters board, as well as Christian identity. First of all, Pastor, I'd like to tell you one thing about your mortal enemy, old Obi Gender Bender. Apparently, we don't know who he is or where he lives, but if you'd like to find out where Obi Gender Bender most likely is, if you don't know his address, you can likely find him exactly 501 yards away from the elementary school. Oh!
Okay. Which elementary school? Melbourne or Perth?
Well, it's most likely going to be over there in Melbourne. Any elementary school, just go 501 yards away and Obadiah will most likely be there.
Why did you come up with the, why 501 as opposed to, 500 or 502?
Well, because that's what the restraining orders say. Oh!
Okay.
I'm glad you appreciate my joke there, Pastor Lindstedt. I see that a few weeks ago you called into the News Guy show. Oh, my goodness. I mean, it's like you had 5 listeners and 6,800 bots listening to you at the same time. And I think even the robots were bored with the News Guy. Oh!
Well, we had Paul or Peerless Demski, he went ahead and outed the News Guy as Peter Goodman here, or Peerless Goodmanser, which, as a conservative Jew here, and then he went ahead and outed himself. So we had a self-kikicide over on Radio Free Nimtards about, 3 weeks ago?
That's right. I didn't know about that. Now, first of all, before I go into that subject, I want to address guest number 3.
Okay.
He says I'm talking a little too fast to be Gilbert Gottfried. Well, guest 3, let me tell you something. This is, as a matter of fact, it's the first time that I've done my Gilbert Gottfried impersonation, so I'm going to work on bringing it a little slower, and your comments and feedback is welcome and much appreciated. But second of all, to get on the topic of Paul Demski, I mean, my goodness, most of these so-called conservative Jews are probably self-hating. It's a good thing that finally P. Demski came out of the closet and admitted that he was a Jew, instead of being a self-hating one. Now, if only we could get Peterless Goodmanser, who, by the way, lives in Brooklyn, just above a check-cashing station in the Diamond District. And I should know because that's where I live as well. He's my neighbor. Oh!
Okay. Well, you know, from what I gather, he used to go ahead and be associated with Hal Turner. And from what I gather, Hal Turner's mother is called Kathy Diamond here. And a lot of people think that Hal Turner was a Jew. And some people, like the late Robert Franz, went ahead and ridiculed Hal Turner's claim that he knew all of his ancestors back to, what, 1600 or 1500, and then went ahead and called him a lying mishling. And he went ahead and pointed out that that would mean that Hal Turner would have to know about 84,000 of his ancestors, although you might go ahead and get it down to 66,666 because of overlap.
Well,
but,
although that makes sense, perhaps he's contacted Dennis Bosak to find the origins of some of his ancestors as well.
Okay, well, what happens? You think that Hal Turner will be back on the air and all will be forgiven? I've seen on VNNF they have old Brutus of Dork and a number of people looking forward to the return of the Hal Turner Show.
That's right. You know, a lot of these dim-witted white nationalists seem to have a short memory. They could use to take a page from some of us Jews. I mean, we never forget and we never forgive. So I think that would be a wise idea for a lot of these white nationalists to tune out of Hal Turnovsky and go ahead and turn him off. However, of course, a lot of people are looking forward to it, including my very good friend, George Takei, because I'm going to tell you something. As soon as Hal Turner comes online, George Takei will be looking to call into his show and give him a piece of his mind.
That will be epic, I would say.
I think it will too, but I'm going to have to rely on the, I'm going to have to rely on the honor of the folks in this chat to keep the phony George Takei thing under control, so that Hal Turner, when he hears from George Takei, will have no clue where it came from and what hit him. It will be an amazing show to watch. Don't you agree, Pastor Lindstedt?
Well, you know me, unlike Fearless Goodmanzer, and unlike Obi Genderbender and the Pisser Possum, I enjoy a good jape as much as any Whigger with a sense of humor could ever enjoy.
Indeed.
You know, a good jape.
Indeed, and that sense of humor, Pastor Lynch, that is much appreciated, which is most likely why George Takei continues to associate himself with you, but no longer associates with the news guy or anybody else around here. But I've got a short story, if you don't mind, Pastor Lindstedt, I've got a short story about my two favorite off-white Mamzers, Peterless Good Mamzer and Kennewick Man, a.k.a. Casey. And if you don't mind, Peterless Good Mamzer and Casey were frolicking in the forest, and they came upon a genie. The genie said, I'll give either one of you schmucks one wish. You could get anything you like. And without hesitation, the news guy said, I want my show, the news guy show, to be critically acclaimed and adored by millions. I'd like a huge audience to the likes of Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck. Genie, is this possible? To which the genie said without a second thought, my goodness, you idiot, have you seen your show? You've got 15 listeners and 200 bots, and even the bots are bored with your crap. Your monologue puts crying babies to sleep. Absolutely impossible. What do you think I am? think of another wish. I'm going to talk to Casey. So the genie turns to Casey and says, Casey, what is it that you'd like? And Casey says, without hesitation, he says, genie, would it be possible to make me attractive to white women? To which the genie turns and he says, let's see what we can do about the news guy show.
There are miracles, and then there are miracles.
Oh. Well, how are things going in your neck of the woods, Pastor?
Well, essentially, me, Roxy, and Poopy Dog, we're doing just fine. We have more than enough to eat. Roxy is more enough to eat. So we're just doing okay. We're just counting off the days to the November selection. And, some nights I have a good deal to say, like the last show where I was really getting down on Eli James. But, pretty well today. Oh, we had a number of technical difficulties and things were sort of iffy. But, heck, I mean, as I look at it, every day not spent in jail or in a nut house is essentially a very, very, very good day. There were some rather dreary times here locked up in the nut house, and then there were some rather exciting times, but I was sort of busy, fighting off niggers and psychotic wiggers to really enjoy, such times at the time. So, essentially,
indeed,
I'm doing pretty good. Indeed.
Well, that's great to hear, Pastor Lindstedt, and it's always nice to come on your show. I do appreciate Guest 3 and his feedback of my Gilbert Gottfried impersonation. I shall try to make it better each and every time so that it can be perhaps along the same quality of a George Takei, or perhaps even a Butthead, if you've heard that one as well. Good night, Pastor Lindstedt, and it was great to speak with you this evening.
Okay, well, hail victory, and you're always welcome to go ahead and show up, Mr. Gottfried. Even though I'm going to hear some crap from the Obergender Bender Pisser Pusser Possum, and maybe you can go ahead and maybe if you can go ahead and look up the one-eared dingo. That would be a pretty good interview as well here, with the one-eared dingo.
I'm sure he'd enjoy speaking to me. And I don't know. I mean, the one thing about Obi-Gender Bender is that he can't push me around like he does some others. I mean, I understand that he likes to interrupt a lot of people. But no matter how loud he can be, Gilbert Gottfried is going to be louder by a magnitude of 10. Oh!
Okay. Well, what happens is that the one-eared dingo is sort of silent but deadly. He sort of liked what he got once. He's sort of like, I don't know if you ever seen Peter Pan, or in case of Peerless Goodman, or Peterless Pan. But supposedly, Captain Hook, this pirate, went ahead and lost his hand to a crocodile, and the crocodile would keep on chasing him, but he ate an alarm clock. Well, Obi has the same problem with the one-eared dingo, but the one-eared dingo is, smarter than the crocodile and hasn't even gone ahead and eaten so much as a wristwatch here. But he's going ahead, and he's sort of waiting. He's just sort of waiting right around. But he's more like about 516 yards away from the from the elementary school here, about 15 feet, hiding in the bushes here, waiting for Obi to go ahead and squat here, so he can go ahead and go ahead and get whatever else he can get.
All right, Pastor Lindstedt, you have a nice evening, and I shall be speaking with you later.
All right. Well, hail victory, Mr. Godfrey.
Hail victory. Hail victory. Oy vey. Bye-bye.
Well, that was Gilbert Gottfried, I believe it was here, and he was telling me, you know, he was going ahead and tell us about the Peerless Good Mamzer and Paul Dembski, who neither one of them, as far as we know, are here to go ahead and join here. Well, it looks like we have Melungeons for Romney, and we have a few other characters. So, folks, I'm going to go ahead and take a break, and we will be back in probably about 5 or 10 minutes. We'll see whatever else we can go ahead and have tonight on this quasi-open forum. So, folks, hail victory. Okay, folks, I'm going to try to give at least one more segment tonight. This may not be a long show. I really liked Mr. What was his name? Gilbert. Mr. Gilbert Gottlieb, I believe, here. If you would, go ahead and give me your YouTube. I'm trying to figure out what I would really like to do is get a YouTube channel up for essentially showing the May 2004 actual downloads. The Topeka 2004 rally, where you end up having Craig Cobb there. You end up having Pastor Butler. You had myself. You had Billy Roper, and you had Alex Linder there. And folks, for all those those idiots who believe that Alex Linder is a great speaker, I mean, he was just nothing more than a tart. Gilbert Gottfried. And folks, I'd like to go ahead and probably put up on Mansers.org pretty well what the MP1 stuff here, so that people can go ahead and download it themselves and then work it, put it up on a YouTube channel or something like that, to where, folks, this was actual really movement history, where you had a number of people, myself, Alex Linder, Craig Cobb, Pastor Butler, of course. And I think that was about it. He went ahead and did some speaking here. And folks, you can go ahead and compare the two. I mean, I looked at Linder. And folks, when you go ahead and look at Linder, he's about 6'1" or so. He's about an inch or so shorter than I am here. I am really, I see so many people. I'm 6 foot tall, or I'm 6'1", or 6'2", or 6'3", and I'm looking down a little bit on them. These characters are about maybe 5'11", maybe 6 foot. And, there's a lot of people go ahead and, go ahead and claim to be taller than they actually are here. I'm really a solid 6'2", maybe sometimes 6'2", 2.5 in the morning here. Not by the end of the day, but in the morning. And folks, Linder, you go ahead and you look at him. He looks sort of Aryan. He looks sort of Nordic, but he has the most furtive attitude. He has the most furtive behavior. He's sort of very, very, very furtive. And in real life here, I don't know what the heck is about him, but he will go ahead. If you think somebody is a Jew, he'll go ahead and ask them if they're a Jew. And here was this little dark Swiss guy here, 2/3 Linder size. And, the guy, being a Swiss, being Swiss from the Germanic portion of Switzerland, said, yeah, yeah, which means yes, yes. But also, it's sort of like, oh, I'm being polite. I'm feeling, instead of saying ooh or ah or ah, something like that, having a nervous, having a sort of, fill her in. He said, yeah, yeah. And Linder looked scared. I mean, this guy was only 2/3 Linder size, and he acts like, Linder acts like a sort of self-loathing Jew who's going to go ahead and ask a question of a real Jew who's going to beat his ass for being a self-loathing Jew. Is the way Linder, sort of acts. And, I knew it had to be Ben Vineyard. It was Billy Roper's right-hand man who pretty well ended it, because as I looked at it, I served for, 19 months in Germany in Kralsheim, and I was looking up, there's a McKee Barracks alumni for those who were stationed at Kralsheim, or Krailsheim, as we used to call it. It's pronounced Kralsheim by the Germans, but Krailsheim. Right on the border of, Baden-Württemberg and Bavaria. And any case, so I knew how Germans or German thinkers or German speakers get acted. Linder just looked like he was a scared as heck here. Maybe Ben Vineyard, you know, must have took pity on Linder and said, he asked you if you were a Jew. Are you a Jew? And little Swiss guy said, you know, kinda, not kleina, kinda, which means not a Jew, not kleina, which means little Jew, it means kinda, not a Jew, not a Jew. And essentially then Linder got to where he could breathe again or something like that here. But I was reading on VNNF here, he went ahead and asked this character called Marty something or another, who sounded like a WAP Jew, if he was a Jew. And Linder seems to have not learned anything from it. I mean, it'd be funny if Linder goes ahead and asks a big, mean Jew, like, you know, some of these wrestlers called Goldstein or something like that, are you a Jew? And he says, yeah, I am here, you fake Aryans, you know, you fake Jew, self-made Jew poser, and beats the crap out of Linder. That would be funny. And do it on video. You know, that would be funny. So, anyway, I'd like to go ahead in one of these days, you know. Well, yeah, folks, I've had this Linder story before here. And, you know, it's sort of like Trader Glenn Miller went ahead and claimed that he was overcome by the smell of piss. And so I had to go ahead and tell not only Trader Glenn Miller was sort of scared of me, ran out here because he thought I was going to kill him when I was talking about Lewis Bean and Captain Lane. Well, Trader Glenn Miller came up with the story, I was overcome by the smell of piss. And I went ahead and pointed out that there was probably only one jug. You know, there was probably only one piss jug inside the trailer house. And there were probably about 15 or 20 outside the trailer house. So the smell of piss, if any of it could have smelled through any plastic jugs, would have been greater on the outside. Trader Glenn Miller was scared I was going to kill his worthless ass. So I would tell a story about the urine and the asparagus, you know, patch there. I had a real nice looking asparagus patch. It was going up for 3 years. It was going to be a real good when I got thrown in jail. And old Piggle Smith went ahead and mowed out all these asparagus ferns when they came up. And so there's no more asparagus. So that was the end of that here. Yeah. So, in any case here, well, Obi likes Linder's stories here. Yeah, folks, I these stories are true here. And, folks, I really would like to go ahead and, essentially, let people go ahead and see for themselves. So, about 2 hours or so. A video. Well, really not that much. Really only about an hour and a half because the battery didn't last that long. About what went on at Topeka in May 2004. And let them folks decide for themselves what they want to go ahead and think. Now, in many cases, you have to have a sense of humor. If you are locked up in a grim situation, because what you have to have is you always have to have hope. You have to have hope that you're going to go ahead and live through this, that you're going to go ahead and prevail, even though things look bad, things look rough, and, you know, places are drear, like locked up in a nut house. You've got to go ahead and maintain hope, even if you don't feel very hopeful. If you don't have a sense of humor, if you're not able to go ahead and laugh at yourself, you're not going to go ahead and make it. I have seen people who I think may have been sane or tenuously sane when they got sent to a nut house. And what they do is that they give in to the craziness. And you can see the craziness. Sometimes, you know, you can have a bunch of violent craziness and you go ahead and cut it. You can go ahead and cut like a knife. And sometimes some things you see are just so out of there that people believe it because you can't be making this crap up here. But in any case, I would have loved to see Trader Glenn Miller locked up in that house in different, you know, in a different room. You know, in places like Biggs, every nut, it's the most expensive. It's maximum high security. It's, you know, every nut has its own separate room because essentially you can't keep them from killing one another. About 6 months before I got there, in fact, one of them did kill another nut. But in any case, yeah. All right, I'll look at the chat here. You know, can you imagine how Trader Glenn Miller would have lasted without any liquor to drink? From what I gather, they didn't have to torture Trader Glenn Miller. He went ahead and told everything that needed to be said just for a little bit, you know, just for, instead of 30 pieces of silver, just for about a couple ounces of Jim Beam. Can you imagine a lender being locked up in the nut house? Well, I mean, you know, folks, I'm sort of quietly proud because, hey, I mean, I had what it took to go ahead and endure, to go ahead and fight, to go ahead and essentially not put up with Zog shit any more than I had to. Now, pretty well being threatened with Haldol will make you behave quite a bit here. I mean, it's, you know, sort of nasty shit here. But in any case here, Googleplex here sets up office to see. I don't know what the heck that's about. Let me go ahead and talk a little bit about the selection for the debates here of this last week with old Obongo and Shittens. And folks, I knew looking at that Obongo won the debate. Now, folks, I got, when was it? Tuesday morning, I got back from the technical support thing. I got back my DVR recorder. And what I, you know, Monday, I think it was Monday. And what I did is I went ahead and got these VCR tapes and recorded them on to a DV, a DVD, you know, read-write. Went ahead and recorded them to a DVD read-write. And when you go ahead and use the erasables or something like that, you can go ahead and do a lot more than you can just with a regular one. So they've gone ahead and they realigned the heads back up. And I was looking at the VCR to there. And I was actually looking at the first debate. And I don't think Obongo did that badly. So then I went ahead and I'd been going ahead and looking at the debate between Joe Biden and Lion Ryan. And, folks, I think that it was pretty well a match. I think that Joe Biden actually had a little bit of advantage on substance. But I went ahead and looked at this debate, and essentially Obongo went ahead and pretty well came out charging. And went ahead and, you know, beat Mittens to, you know, went ahead and fought Mittens to a slight advantage here. Now, I don't know what the third debate is going to go ahead and look like, but essentially I think it's going to go ahead and be another draw. But looking, you know, go ahead and looking at, I sort of think that Obongo is going to be the wiener. Now, I didn't really catch on about the breaking news about Romney, you know, about Mittens and Obongo being at this Al Smith dinner. Essentially, they were there, and I guess I didn't really record most of it here. But they said the last time he had two competing presidential nominees was way back in 1960 with... I'm looking. Well, you might have old Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan. Well, guess what? Guess who won? Guess who won that one? Well, you had Richard Nixon and, you know, John F. Kennedy there at an Al Smith dinner here, which is, well, dedicated to some hybrid nigger mackerel snapper or something like that. He went ahead and ran just before FDR, I think back in 1928, something like that. Okay. Anyway, I'm sort of looking at the chat a little bit. Folks, I think that Obongo actually won the last debate here, or essentially didn't lose as bad here. I think Carol Kavanaugh, this is Radio Free Northwest, he's talking about grand juries and essentially how grand juries are used as instruments of oppression. Of course they are. And then he was talking about Edgar Steele. Folks, there is no saving Zog. Pretty well, the impression I get is that we are looking at, I'm not sure if there's going to be an October surprise. I don't think there's going to be an October surprise. Now, the price of gasoline has gone down here again, but still above $4 a gallon. It's gone up again. It's gone down from what it was, about as high as 470, 475, and now it's down to what, 435? Folks, that stuff is caused by Goldman Sachs and these big brokerage houses going ahead, and there's no shortage of gasoline, there's no shortage of supplies like 2008 where you had these Jews running around doing this crap. And when I got out of jail, when was it? Oh, I think the 23rd of October, 5 days away from now. And I'll go ahead and look and comment about, being free for about 4 years, relatively free. And the price of gasoline was, $1.89 and going down? And the reason of it is that as part of the bailout package, they had to go ahead and sell their speculative stocks in, they had to sell their speculative stocks in the gasoline futures market. And I think it's caused by the same thing. They just go ahead and use whatever excuse they need, like, there's a shortage of gasoline in California, to go ahead and ratchet it up here. I think that you might end up seeing gasoline go below $4 a gallon, but I wouldn't count on it. Wouldn't count on it at all for the election. By the way, the jobs thing here, where at the debate they were claiming that it, got underneath 8%. Well, guess what? California has gone ahead and it delayed its report. And essentially, if you go ahead and add California, I guess it gets back above 8% again. Because the job statistics in California, where all the white people are running away and all the beaners are moving in, was not very good. Okay? Okay. Well, no, I didn't. What happens is that way back in 2004, this was before Linder figured out he had Crohn's. Now, Wednesday night, why Garrett Dan Johns didn't have a show. But I was ready. I was just going ahead and had, Toshiba number one, Toshiba number two, and Toshiba number three all up there. And I was using Toshiba number two with the very nice keyboard to troll the crap out of, Oba Gender Bender and, the Pisser Possum. So this was before Linder found out he had Crohn's. But folks, I mean, it says that the show of your countenance will go ahead and testify against you. What about Linder's bleeding bunghole? To where initially he said he had Crohn's, and then last 6 months he's claimed that now he doesn't have Crohn's, a.k.a. Jew Askades, he has ulcerative colitis, a.k.a. Arian Askades. Folks, white people, I mean, if you end up having that, you have a Jew in your woodpile somewhere. You have a Jew in your woodpile. Winder has, well, more than a few Jews in his genetic woodpile. And that's what some people are complaining about. Winder is going ahead and talking about Golden Dawn like it's his idea to have that. And it's not. Winder has absolutely nothing to do with running a political party. Winder lives in Kirksville. If Winder wanted to, he could probably take over the Libertoon county seat. He could go ahead and essentially run as precinct committeeman. Maybe find him a female or something like that. Winder could if he wanted. In a number of these areas in northeast Missouri, Winder could go ahead and take over either the Constitution Party or the Libertoon Party, if he wanted to. Does Linder want to? No. I remember back when they were talking, when Trader Glenn Miller first came in, they were talking about the freedom, white freedom party. And I got on the Peerless Skank, show and says, well, hey, you can take over any minor political party if you want just by going ahead and getting enough people in the county, in your county seats and your senatorial committees, you can take over a political party if you want to. That's why I told the League of the South how to do it. And the answer is none of them want to go ahead and do it. They want to talk about it. They want to actually seize political power. Now, unlike, the Ron Paul people, they've gone ahead, in some cases, they've gone ahead and seized political power. Now, not in the major towns like Joplin or, St. Charles? Certainly not Springfield. But where you have places in, Barry or Stone County, you can do that. You can go ahead and do it. Folks, they don't have much of a Republican Party in St. Louis or Kansas City, downtown Kansas City. But we're not talking about taking a major party. We're talking about taking out a Libertoon Party over. You can do that, or the Constitutional Party, or the Reform Party. Heck, I'd be in Roxy running for Reform Party, and there was only 7 of us who had gone ahead and run. It was some hippy-dippy, goofy bitch here. This one guy, and, this one secretary and her husband, who she had on her thumb, a hippy-dippy tantric flyer and a nigger, and then 2 people from St. Louis area, and then me and Roxy. And essentially, I got this Anglo-Mestizo goofy bitch, named Marvelline Panky, elected chairman of the Reform Party in 2000. And the reason I did, how I did that is that the Probots didn't trust the Buchananites. So, hey, they both, and I went ahead and charmed the nigger into, I didn't say anything about, being a big racist or anything like that. I mean, the niggers are, Probot, and pretty well, St. Louis Tards were, Buchananites. So essentially, because the old Marveling was neither a Probot or a Buchananite, and me and Roxy had, 2 votes out of the 7? Well, hey, she became the chairman of the Reform Party. Folks, How much time and effort did it take to essentially get someone, of course she was a nutcase, but how much time and effort did it go ahead and cost to get somebody in a political party with some sort of ballot access to go ahead and take it over? Answer, and take even $10,000. Takes 10,000 signatures, that's about $20,000 of, you know, at least a dollar a signature, by a dollar and a half a signature, you're going to have need about $15,000 to go ahead and get the $10,000 to get ballot access here. What happens is essentially I got one of my creatures. Of course, she wasn't one of my creatures. She was pretty nutty. And she sort of went off her own little reservation. But I did get her to, I did get her elected as a state, chairwoman. How much money did that cost me? Well, really, not too much. I had to go up to Kansas City, bring Roxy with me. Now, could Winder have done that? Sure. Could Trader Glenn Miller have done that here with all the bucks he went ahead and spent? Sure he could have. Sure he could have. He could have. He just didn't want to. Needed Linder. Needed a legal assault. They all want to go ahead and pretend that they're doing something, and they're not. They're not accomplishing anything. They're not there to accomplish anything. So, what to do here? I mean, probably, maybe what I should have done is maybe I should have gone up to Jefferson City and ran for United States Senator as a Constitution Party candidate. All they have is this Cynthia Davis running. They don't have hardly anybody running at all for the Constitution Party. Now, poor old Edgar Steele here, he had a nigger who some liberal Mormons went ahead and in a display of ignorance went ahead and elected their own little nigger. And Edgar Steele had a problem with that here. I just told Edgar to go ahead and make a big deal about how the nigger should have gone ahead and kept him from running for governor of Idaho. He went ahead, Edgar Steele went ahead and gave up with it. Yeah, I was listening to Edgar Steele's comments here, and he was saying, well, it's against the law for me to advocate revolution. Look, Edgar, you've been railroaded. You're going to get 60 years in prison. Maybe it's time to go ahead and talk about killing pigs, talk about killing judges, talk about killing lawyers, talk about killing cops. Me, I don't have a problem going ahead and talking about how civil war, about how the Great Tribulation, about how bloodshed is the only thing that's going to go ahead and save the Yahweh servant nation. Because our Babylon in peace is killing us deader than hell. Right now I'm listening to old Mittens. Mittens, go ahead and yap. I'm watching it here. I'll go ahead and record, go ahead and listen to it later. But folks, all the stupid crap here, if left by itself here, would go ahead and destroy us as a race here. But while we are being destroyed as a race, what's replacing us? Niggers, Mamzers, Beaners, Jews? Now, Jews, when you go ahead and understand the nature of Jews, when you go ahead and understand that they're the spawn of Satan, and they're part of Satan's breeding efforts, you got to understand is that even a Jew's self-preservation comes in second to a Jew's lust to destroy Yahweh's servant nation. A Jew will go ahead and take a kick to the head, being bruised in the head from the heel of the woman, true woman, in order to go ahead and do far more than to bruise Yahweh's servant nation's heel. That's why Jeremy Viscerax, the way it acts here. Times it's so nice, and a lot of times it's not very nice at all to me. And by the way, I was not allowed to go ahead and call in to the Pisser Possum Show, and I didn't expect anything less here. I decided to just go ahead and give Jeremy a chance to say yes or no. And he said no, no big deal. But I understand is that these creatures want to destroy the white race. the Adamic race, Yahweh's servant nation. And so that is what they do. And so many Quakers go ahead and allow that. And how do you make sense of that sort of thing? And the answer is you make sense of it by understanding that Yahweh, allowed Satan's children to exist here. Now, when it says in Matthew, I think it's chapter 13, or maybe it's 15. Well, it says in Matthew 15, let me see what it is. Matthew 15, I think it is. Okay? Matthew chapter 15. Well, folks, we went ahead and covered Matthew chapter 13 and Mark chapter 4 in Logan's Friday night Bible study. And folks, we'll go ahead and Logan will go ahead and talk about his conspiracy theory of the week. We'll go ahead and cover, but what we've gone ahead during the last month or so is that Logan has taken to conducting a Bible study. So we had a real fine Bible study last Friday. But anyway, in Matthew chapter 15, verse 13, he said, where he was talking about what defiles a man here. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 13, he said, but he, Yeshua, Jesus Christ, answered, said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Verse 14, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. If the blind lead the blind, both shall fall in the ditch. And what he was talking about here, this should go ahead and refute Finkelstein, should refute Elier. It should go ahead and refute both Elier and Finkelstein's claims that, these people were made by the devil. At least Finkelstein, caps the nose of the Emheiser. Folks, when he talks about uprooting a plant that, his Heavenly Father has not planted, he's not talking about going ahead and uprooting weeds, plants, tares in China or Africa or Asia, because, any more than you or I, if we have a tear in our garden, we would pull up a tear on the city property. Do any of you, going ahead and seeing a tear, where do you pull up tares at? Well, you pull up tares which are growing among the wheat. That's where the tares are pulled up at. They're not pulled up on somebody else's property. How many of you actually go out to somebody else's property and pull their weeds? Do you? I don't think so. Back when I was a kid, it was hard enough to go ahead for my parents and grandparents to get me to pull up weeds in our own vegetable garden. I didn't go out to the back 40 and pasture and pull up weeds there. Neither shall Yahweh. I don't think he's going to go ahead and pull up tares or weeds in Africa, in Asia. And, he's not going to go ahead and pull up these tares which are not in his garden, which are among his wheat. The only tares that's going to be bundled up and harvested are the tares which are polluting the wheat. That's what I want to go ahead and talk about here. I've gone ahead and done a little bit of Bible study. But that's why I think and Emheiser are wrong. They're universalists just like E.R. James. And because they're such a-holes here, they're not as dangerous as E.R. James here. E.R. James believes that these creatures have souls, that these creatures have a call upon Yahweh. And they don't. They merely exist for the day, mere animals. And those who live in places like Africa, niggers in Africa, or gooks in China, they're not going to be necessarily fucked up. Of course, Yahweh is not going to go ahead and pay much attention to them. And folks, the Great Tribulation will affect them, just like there is a slowdown in China right now. Because stupid wiggers don't have enough money to buy the products made by slave labor. Now, if the Chinese really did care for themselves, they'd go ahead and take all this capital which has gone to there and create a market for their own people and create a future for their own people. But like all such animals, they don't think ahead for the future. They don't go ahead and plan what is good for the overall race of chinks any more than there's any nigger that plans for the good of Africans as a whole. The white man is the only one able to go ahead and plan and work and think for the future, be it 5 years in advance, 10 years in advance, 20 years in advance, 100 years in advance. We're the only ones, and that is why we came out on top here. There's talk about, I've heard, you know, on a number of other shows about how whites are gullible, how they go ahead and work, how they go ahead and trust those who are among them who pretend to be white, how gullible they are. But folks, when we were in our prime and not allow the Jew to come in among us here, we were able to go ahead and work together to exterminate, you know, the red nigger from the prairies, to go ahead and pogrom the Jews, go ahead and conquer wherever we were when we were what we were meant to be. We were able to go ahead and work together. So folks, this gullibility, this wiggerdom, essentially in many cases when it was what we were supposed to be, when Yahweh pretty well was giving us our birthright, when our people were politically new and naive and essentially were what we were supposed to be, we did go ahead and get behind leaders and we did go ahead and carve out for ourselves among these chaotic, fractious Indians, what have you, who could not work together, who were out going for themselves. We were able to go ahead and exterminate these people or drive them out, be they Canaanites or be they red natives. But folks, let's not go ahead and look down upon us for being what we are. We need to understand who we are. We need to understand what we are. We don't need to go ahead like Eli James or Obi Genderbender or Jeremy Visser, want to pretend to be us, wishing they were us. What we need to be is what we are. But also, you'll understand that we are Yahweh's children. And that we go ahead and we obey Yahweh's law, and we do what is right. And for everything and anything else here, we have no obligation. We have no obligation to be merciful. And we certainly have no obligation to be merciful to wiggers who are doing evil. I call upon every white man to be what he's supposed to be, and be instinctively close to Yahweh, to go ahead and obey the Lord, you know, the law of Yahweh written on your heart. But for those who are not of us here, you have no obligation for anything. You need to go ahead and look and see if it looks like a Jew, acts like a Jew, smells like a Jew, or a nigger, or what have you. It's a Jew or a nigger or what have you. We need to be what we are and nothing else. Nothing else. So, well, parallel to what, Jibber? No, what happens is that old Donna Fullerton, this Anglo Mestizo bitch, wanted to, you know, wanted to go ahead and bulldoze these old, you know, these old buildings here that are falling in. Now, they're made out of rock. They're made out of stone. They're not going to fall in, but the roof, in some cases, have fallen in. They're not in good shape, but in case, they're just old buildings here. You know, pretty well what I've done with these, you know, with these properties is I've let them go ahead and overgrow. Let them go ahead and overgrow into what they would normally be. This hill here, Cobb Hill, used to be the center of lead mining in Granby. And so the earth was denuded, the earth was tore off in order to get at the lead below. And you end up having a whole bunch of chat piles of lead mining tailings here, where it's no longer galena lead, it's just lead. And heck, every so often they, you know, they used to go ahead and tear off the topsoil and put down different dirt. And folks, you know, you have what it is here. Now, I heard that this evil bitch was in a hospital, and I was hoping the bitch would die. I was hoping the bitch would die, and I don't know if she did or not here. But she's a crazy bitch. I mean, folks, my particular house is an old house. It's not, but you know, it's rather cluttered. There are a bunch of papers and stuff here, and I need to every so often go ahead and go through them. And I do every so often. Most of the time I don't. Don't bother. There's no need to go ahead and bother. Who is it? Just me, Roxy, and Puppy Dog? Poopy Dog? Don't worry about it. In case, folks, I'm going ahead and I'm just looking. Tonight's a rare slow night. It's going to go ahead and make a sort of iffy thing, except for, what was the name, Gilbert Gottlieb calling in. I really didn't have anything much prepared other than perhaps bitching about this, what, guy named Pearson, who's a total mamsertard, running around pretending to be something he's not. I'm trying to go ahead and point out to you is that there's nothing wrong with being what you are, as long as you're white. And if you're not white, why bother pretending to be something you're not? Folks, I bet Brian Reel, I bet Eli James, a number of these people wishes they were what I am, a white man, an Israelite, with flaws, with rather crude mannerism sometimes, although it's, you know, it's pretty well evened out by a sense of humor. Folks, I've never wanted to be anything else other than what I am, so I'm comfortable being what I am. And I'm pretty well asking those of you who are white to go ahead and be what you are. I remember talking to Jim Floyd. And I said, well, Jim, I'm never going to go ahead and be able to write like you. And Jim went ahead and said, well, Martin, you're never going to be able to write like me, but on the other hand, I can't write like you. We each are different people. And what we need to do is we each need to go ahead and be as good as what we can be and understand our weaknesses, understand our strengths, and play to our strengths, and also go ahead and show up our weaknesses in the life we have. That's what we do. That's what we do. That was a great Wigger awakening. the two prophets, you know, Joe Pennsylvania went ahead and asked a question here about the two prophets here. You go ahead, and it's sort of like, you know, you still go ahead and find out about the two witnesses. For all practical purposes, they do a number of mighty deeds here. They do a number of mighty prophesying, and it's just like Noah and Methuselah. What did, you know, did Noah and Methuselah, when they were preaching for 120 years before the flood, from when Noah was 480 years old, the second month of Noah's 600th year, did any of them talk any Whiggers out of miscegenating, out of going ahead and moving to Europe around Cain Sargon's evil empire? The answer is, maybe they did, but maybe they didn't. The point came down to it. Noah and Methuselah, did they go ahead and stop the flood? Did they go ahead and stop, you know, Dez track the great first song of Babylon from having to be flooded out? The answer is no. And you go ahead and read in the book of Revelations that these two prophets are not going to go ahead and change Whiggers. They're not going to go ahead and change Jews. Of course, you can't change Jews. They're already built in. But folks, they don't change Whiggers. They don't go ahead. Doesn't say anything about them ending the Great Tribulation. But rather, the Satan comes up from the pit and goes ahead and, you know, just, you know, kills them both, and then they rise to the heavens. So, what did the two witnesses? What are the two witnesses' messages going to accomplish? Answer, nothing. That's what it says in the Bible. It's going to accomplish nothing at all. Okay. Two witnesses are church and state. Well, okay. You know, I guess I went ahead and read it a little bit more literally than, you know, that Pastor Wesley Swift did. He might be right. I don't know. But reading it myself here, I find out these two witnesses didn't really accomplish any Whigger revival. Could be wrong. I don't see or hear of any Whigger revival. What the Israelites listening to me need to understand is that don't get in this movement. Don't go ahead and believe altogether what anybody tells you. You need to go ahead and figure these things out for yourself. You need to save yourself. Well, from what I gather, they were. I met, you know, Joe Pennsylvania. From what I gather, they were. But you asked me a question, is there going to be any great, is there going to create a great Whigger awakening? And the answer is no. I've heard in this movement all about the awakening. I was listening to Joe Adams, interview with Dr. Kevin McDonald. And, folks, during the last couple, you know, of months of programming, Joe Adams is all by himself. And what Joe Adams believes in doing is having a bunch of glib talking, you know, SaveWhitePeople.com, and he's going to go ahead and change his name to Guardians of Diversity, now Caucasian Persuasion. And he sort of believes he's going to fool Jews into thinking he's not racist. And he's going to go ahead and play a little word games with the Jews. He's going to go ahead and that's going to save white people. And the answer is not. All these little mind games, all these little word games, all these little gang games are not going to change anything at all. Okay? All right, Jerusalem. Jerusalem is Yahweh's holy city, or it was. The Holy Land is now the unholy land because Jesus Christ was murdered there by Jews. We ourselves here are purified by the blood of the Lamb of Yahweh. But Jerusalem is no longer a holy city. because, well, you know, because, you know, after the Great Tribulation, the New Jerusalem shall go ahead and come down from the heavens to the earth. Okay? Well, folks, there's nothing, you know, you asked me if the two witnesses are going to wake up Quakers. The answer is nothing's going to wake up Quakers. Quakers are looking around, and folks, it's understood. It's understood that pretty well economic times, we live in what's called the Great Recession. Folks, where did the word recession come from? Answer, it was meant as a recession to go ahead and take the place of the word depression. Where did the word depression come from? Answer, it was meant to go ahead and take the place of the word panic, as in financial panic. So what happens, you end up having the panic of 1838, 1836, 1873, 1907. And then here comes the Jew banksters, under the Federal Reserve System, and they no longer call it panic, they call it depression. And you had a short depression after World War One, and essentially when it first came in, here it was 1921 to 1922, you had a rather harsh panic, but now they call it depression. But it went ahead, and essentially the Federal Reserve System at the time wasn't run by Jews enough to where they went ahead and created a Great Depression, which was caused by thievery on the stock market. Folks, our latest bubbles are caused by thievery by Jews. And now, since there's no pension of them, other than when a Jew like Bernie Madoff goes ahead and steals from other Jews, folks, you're not going to go ahead and have any financial rebirth. All you're having is just simply a means by which Obongo works on getting reselected, and so you end up having quantitative easing four, where essentially Bernanke is going ahead and printing $60 billion a month. But unlike quantitative easing one, two, and three, he's just simply saying that he's going to go ahead and print money until, I guess, everything falls apart. When I hear a story about waking up Uyghurs, folks, Uyghurs, I think, are beginning to realize the things that shit's fucked up. But what are they going to do about it? Now you're awake. What are you going to do about it? You going to go out and kill pigs? Nope. Are you going to go ahead and kill judges? Nope. You're going to go ahead and kill lawyers? Nope. You're going to go out and kill Jews and niggers and beaners? Nope. What are you going to do now that you're awakened? And the answer is there ain't much you can do or will do. At least not yet. At least not yet. Okay? Folks, the entire, you know, Joe Pence is saying, I'm hoping things will wake up Uyghurs. Folks, the entire bowel movement supposedly is about waking up Uyghurs. How has it woken up Uyghurs? How has it gone ahead and woken up anyone? What are you going to do about this sort of thing? Answer, there's nothing you can do. You need to go ahead and work on saving yourself. And what I need to do is I need to go ahead and put together a bunch of Bertrand Comparé essays and put them out in a book form, reprint Comparé, so that folks, if you understand who you are, you understand Orthodox Christian identity. Well, Bertrand Comparé went ahead and preached it here. And then, later on, I might go ahead and read my Wesley Swift and figure out what Wesley Swift had in mind here. But anyway, that's my next to-do. So anyway, folks, you know, there's no waking up Wiggers. If you believe that there is, then you're delusional. Wiggers are not going to be woke up. They do not want to be woken up at all. So anyway, folks, I think I've had about, what, a three-hour show or so? Probably not quite. But pretty well, I've run out of things to say. So I'm going to go ahead and call it a night. I'm going to go ahead and say, Hail Victory. Yahweh bless. Good night.